Now, when we love God, not only are there things that we should say no to and we should reject, but there are also four things that we should say yes to. Number one is in keeping his word. Look what it says in John chapter 14, verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keep not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So in other words, this is how God interprets that you love him. It's not about feeling with him. It's not about crying. It's not about tears. It's not about emotions and what you intended to do or what you wish, but the circumstance, it has nothing to do with any of those things. If you love me, keep my words. The person that doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. It's really that simple. So the things that we should say yes to is in keeping God's word. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 1 through 5. It says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation means that he was a substitute sacrifice for our sins. Verse 3, And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So that person who doesn't keep his word, not only are you don't love God, but if you say you know him, but you don't keep his word, the Bible says that person is a liar. And let me give you breaking news. You will never get a thought, a feeling, a dream, a vision, or prophecy from God that will violate God's word. It'll never happen. It's not coming from God. This is what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my words. He that doesn't keep my words doesn't love me. So keeping God's word is the number one first priority thing that we should say yes to. We ought to, anytime we come across anything, we should judge it against the integrity of God's word. If it doesn't say that in God's word, or if it violates God's word in any way, no matter how we feel, no matter who it is, it could be somebody who's close, it could be family, it could be someone who we love, or whatever the case is, we should not do it. That's what the Bible says. We have our senses exercised into discerning both good and evil because of what we practice. We practice his word. Number two, the second thing that we should say yes to is pursuing him with our whole heart. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. That's an awesome, awesome scripture, because what it talks about is it talks about this hunger for God. You want more of God, so you pursue him. You pursue spending time with him, just like you pursue, let's say, a mate or someone that you like and you want to have a relationship with. You pursue them because you want their attention. Well, you want to pursue God the same way. The only thing is that you can't come to him with flattery. You come to him with something similar, and it's called adoration. Because a lot of times flattery is something that you don't mean. Adoration is something that you observe, and it's something that you feel based on what you have observed. So when you feel the presence of the Lord, that's an awesome, awesome feeling. That's a beautiful feeling. So when you say that the Lord is beautiful, that's not flattery. That's adoration because of his presence that you feel. You know from experience that it's beautiful. Or when you know that the Lord has done stuff for you and you know it's the Lord, there's no way it could have worked out the way it did had it not been for the Lord. Then you say, okay, well, I know that the Lord is faithful. So when you go to him, you say, oh, praise the Lord. Lord, you are faithful. So you start pursuing a relationship with him because you want to know, who is this God who cares so much about me? As insignificant as I am, he loves me. I got proof that he loves me. And then you start pursuing him. It's an amazing thing. Look what it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. It says, Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So when you're pursuing the Lord, it actually takes self-discipline to continue to pursue the Lord. Because We have so many distractions in life, and we have all of these different suggestions that come from our environment, from the enemy, or whatever the case is, that wants us to give our attention to something else, whether it's our phones, whether it's the television, whether it's even people. So it does take self-discipline to pursue the Lord, but we do it because we love Him. Look what it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. We are actually made to seek Him. That's one of the purposes why He made us. Look what it says. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they shall seek the Lord, and happily they may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You see that? It says that it is basically saying that we were made to seek the Lord. And then it was interesting that he says this. He says that he's not far from us. So even if we don't know what to do, if we just feel after him, we'll find him. Because finding God is not about seeing where he is. Finding God is about how you start taking action based on what you purpose in your heart. So you'll find him even though you don't know where he is. If you just purpose in your heart, I'm going to seek after the Lord. I'm going to praise him until he shows up. I'm going to wait on him until he speaks to me. I'm going to read his word until he shows me great and wonderful things out of his word that I never knew. Then you will find that he was never far from us. He was just one decision away, just one decision. God is that close. He's one decision away. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13 in the Amplified Version. It says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, said the Lord, plans of peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then will you call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice and I will listen to you. Then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's in pursuing God. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 14, verse 2. It says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." He attaches seeking God to desire and to love. And he attaches not seeking God to a lack of understanding. If you seek God, it's because you have understanding. Isn't that something? That's a very profound thing. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." Look at that. And then what it says, what he says, that we should keep his word. We should turn away every one of us from our iniquities. And we shall seek God with our whole heart. Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So that is the key to seeking the Lord. Do it with all your heart. Don't go about it half-heartedly. Make a decision to seek him with your whole heart. So the first thing that we should say yes to is keeping God's word. The second thing that we should say yes to is pursuing him, seeking the Lord with our whole heart. Number three, what we should say yes to is we should say yes to having a good conscience. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. "And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." So part of having a good conscience is being honest, not lying, not being a liar. Doesn't matter what the motive is. Having a good conscience means that you're not a person who is a liar. One of the things that happened when Jesus Christ died for us is once we became saved, he purged our conscience from dead works. And look what it says here. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 9, 13, and 14. It says, "Which was a figure for the time then present, and which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience." Verse 13, "For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifier to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Look what it says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2 and 22. For then will they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our conscience sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When the Bible talks about us being washed with pure water, he's talking about being washed with the water of the word. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, where it says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So when the Bible talks about that we have no more conscience of sins when we're saved, now it's up to us to grow that conscience into a good conscience. So understanding that love is not just defined by what we say yes to, but by what we say no to. And understanding the things that what we should say yes to, number one, we should say yes to keeping God's word. Number two, we should say yes to pursuing him with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Number three, we should say yes to a good conscience, keeping a good conscience, not violating our internal sense of right and wrong. If it violates our conscience, then we don't do it. It is our internal mechanism, not just by which we judge right or wrong, but it's how the Holy Spirit guides us. Even our conscience will even bother us for things that we haven't even come across yet. The Holy Spirit will actually warn us through our conscience that, no, this is not a good thing to do. No, it's not a good thing to say. Or, no, this is not a good environment to be in. Or you're going to come across a negative situation, but make sure that you say so-and-so, or make sure you do so-and-so. That is all a faculty of the conscience. So the fourth thing that we should say yes to is having patience with God. Look at Psalm chapter 37, verse 34. It says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it." Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." When we wait on the Lord, we guarantee certain victory, because waiting on the Lord glorifies him. Satan will always bring things to try to make us turn away from what we're hoping for. But if God promised it to us, the word says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should change his mind or that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? God will never lie to you. If he told you he would do it, he will do it. If it's not done, it's because he hasn't done it yet. So we have to wait on him. Another place, I believe it's Isaiah. It says that Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 8, it says that, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void." God's word will not return unto you void. If he said it, he will do it. The key is to wait on him. God is glorified when we wait on him. Satan is frustrated when he cannot get us to turn away from waiting on God. He'll throw a lot of things in your way, but you have certain victory when you wait on the Lord. It's one of the ways that we show God that we love him. Because one of the things about trusting him, your love for him cannot exist without trust. You have to trust him in order to love him. Amen to that. When we set our love upon God, God becomes the object of our supreme affection. It's where we become attached and we become united with God. It is where we have this affection that springs from our heart. Where Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. To thirst for the Lord from our innermost being. To spend time with him and to have patience with him. I hope this teaching has been a blessing to you. And I pray that you will continue to walk with the Lord, understanding that our love for him is not just by what we say yes to, but by what we say no to.